You're listening to Cinema Jaw, the greatest movies podcast ever, recorded on location at the original Mother's Nightclub in Chicago. My name is Matt Kay, and with me is...
Ryan the Movie Guy, and this week on Cinema Jaw, Matt, we go undercover and stake out our top five favorite undercover movies.
Yes, we've blown the cover, Rye.
Blown it wide open.
The cat's out of the bag.
We are doing that in honor of Argo coming out, sort of has this undercover feel. The FBI poses as a film crew.
Yep.
Ben Affleck's new movie, and it got us thinking, this is a great topic to go over at this time, undercover films.
I know, you know, I was thinking there'd be tons and tons of these movies, and I guess when you go back through the annals of time, there are quite a few, but recently... It's kind of a short list.
It hasn't been a lot of great ones recently, but if you get creative as far as the undercover, because it doesn't necessarily always have to be cops or FBIs that go undercover. So
that's true, and I have a couple of examples of things that aren't your usual picks.
Wonderful, wonderful.
At least one.
So we will be covering our top five undercover films. In addition to that, we have a guest that's going to be joining us. If I'm not mistaken, this is going to be his fourth appearance on the show.
Yep.
Jawhead number one, as he likes to be called sometimes. Big fan of the show. Mike Huff is going to be joining us.
Yep. Let's just do the list now. Mike was most recently on episode 98 when we covered our favorite film series. Previous to that, he was on with our good friend Jonathan Cohen back on episode 45, and we covered back to school movies there. And then before that, he was on Cinema Jaw 33 action movies.
Wow.
I know.
Wow. He has been with us way back since the beginning, so it's going to be exciting to welcome back Mike Huff to the show. In addition to that, Matt, we go eye for an eye on Argo. We have a theater review of Looper, which I caught, the new Bruce Willis film. Also a DVD review of Snow White and the Huntsman. Plus, The Avengers is out on Blu-ray.
Yes, got a DVD review for you on that one.
Plus, a cinema war that's going to look at who is the best James Bond. Plus, yourself, first Mike Huff in movie trivia, 1970s movie trivia.
Sweet.
Jam-packed jaw, as always.
Let's get to it.
We bring in our guest, Mike Huff, your fourth time on Cinema Jaw. Welcome back, buddy.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
So what's new in your life, Mike?
We haven't seen you in a while.
I think since the last time you were here, if I'm not mistaken, I think you got betrothed. Is that correct?
I'm about to hit my second wedding anniversary in November. I'm going to have my 37th birthday on October 7th, which is coming up in a couple days. And I know your birthday is like, what, in 3 or 4 days as well?
That's right. That's right. I'll let the cat out of the bag. I'm going to be 35.
Oh, big God. 35. Now I feel like an old fart.
You are.
And let's see, what else is new? Not a whole lot. I think my wife misplaced my wedding ring because we moved over the weekend and I can't find it.
So, good excuse.
Bonus.
Played, Mike.
Swear to God, I handed it off to her because I was going to keep it in my dresser drawer. She's like, no, you're being an idiot. Don't keep it there. Let me take care of it. So I handed it to her, and Monday I'm like, hey, where is it? And
well, for all intents and purposes, you are single tonight, Mike. So we'll take you around to the bars after this podcast is over. And
sounds good to me.
Yeah. What happens on the podcast stays on the podcast.
Yeah, but the only drawback is it's kind of thrown out there for the whole world to hear.
As long as she's not listening, you're all good.
Yeah, she probably won't. She kind of hates listening to me.
There you go.
Been getting out to the movies lately. Summer movie season just finished up not too long ago. Do you have some favorites this summer?
Oh, definitely Batman and The Avengers. They were by far the two best movies I saw this summer. The way The Avengers used 3D, and then I thought that Batman was spectacular. It was so good. The ending, I thought, was incredible. I loved the beatdown that Bane gave. Some of the parts of the fight scene was like right out of the Nightfall comic book. It like just great stuff. And then, of course, Prometheus definitely was probably some of the most spectacular 3D I saw this summer.
Oh, well,
what did you think of the film overall for Prometheus? Were you a little bit let down?
I was just about to say you're a man after my own taste before the whole Prometheus thing.
I absolutely was not let down because I was very into it, so I read a lot about it, and I understood. It was not a straight alien prequel. It existed in the same universe. I found everything very interesting. There were a couple of parts that were really dumb. I have no idea how they came up with this stuff, but as an overall film, it was really, really cool and really well done.
Certainly a beautiful film, but deeply flawed, I would say.
There are a couple of plot holes you could drive Optimus Prime through, but still, it looked really good. I thought it was well done.
Plot holes that size do not matter to Mike Huff. That's why I love this guy.
I liked Expendables, and I like Transformers 3, so what can I say?
I was going to say, Mike is a huge fan of action movies. Last time he was here, he was raving about the A-Team.
Oh, yeah, it was fun. It was exactly what it was supposed to be. Do not... Bastard, I was going to tell you, don't do that.
Too late. Too late. Mike is a big fan of action movies, and a lot of undercover films have some good action sequences in it. So I think we're in for a treat with Mike's list.
Yeah, and then there are some funny ones, too.
For sure.
Absolutely. So we get started. Mike has his five favorite undercover movies, as does Matt and I. We get started going eye for an eye with Argo. Check out this clip.
Actions of Iran have shocked the civilized world. Our embassy has been seized and more than 60 American citizens continue to be held as hostages.
If we're going to go, then we need to go now.
What happened?
Six of the hostages went out a back exit.
Where are they? The Canadian ambassador's house.
We've got Revolutionary Guards going door to door. These people die. They die badly.
White House?
Who wants the six of them out?
What we like for this are bicycles.
Deliver the six bikes, provide them with maps.
Or you could just send in training wheels and meet them at the border with Gatorade.
It's going to take a miracle to get them out.
In 1979, as the Iranian Revolution reaches a boiling point, a CIA exfiltration specialist concocts a risky plan to free six Americans who have found shelter at the home of the Canadian ambassador. The film stars Ben Affleck, Bryan Cranston, and John Goodman, and is also directed by Ben Affleck, this being his third feature film. Matt, interested or ignore on Argo?
Interested, big time. I don't even know what to add to that. I mean, this looks like it's going to be the film of the season.
Mike, interested or ignore on Argo?
Absolutely interested. I've liked Ben Affleck going all the way back to when he was in Dazed and Confused. I mean, you know, he's definitely a really good actor, and he's become an even better director. All you have to do is watch The Town, and how that didn't win an Academy Award is beyond me.
I wouldn't go that far, but I really did like The Town. I also am going to join you guys very, very interested in Argo.
Do you think this is Oscar bait, Rye?
I actually do. You know, I've read a few articles where they talk about how The Town was just on the outskirts of getting nominated and getting nominations for Ben Affleck. And this time around, they don't think they're going to miss with Argo. And I think the story is Oscar bait material, where The Town, bank robbery, not to say that I wasn't a fan of it, but it's not usually what the Academy goes for.
A little juvenile, just a tad.
Right. Compared to Argo, this is a heavy hitter here from Affleck. And I like that he directs. When he did Gone Baby Gone, fine, he was not in the film, but to be able to direct and star in the movie is quite an accomplishment. Not many pull off so well, but I think Affleck's got a talent here.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, this is definitely going to be the make or break for him.
I think he'll make it.
I agree.
Three strong interesteds for Argo. Plus, I love John Goodman. I love the setting in the 1970s in there as well.
Yeah, Goodman's great. Goodman's the bomb.
Sure is. Plus, Bryan Cranston. You guys fans of Breaking Bad?
Never really seen it, but I know Bryan Cranston's a good actor.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. Get on board with Breaking Bad. Fantastic show, and I love Bryan Cranston.
That's strong from Rye the Movie Guy, because he is Rye the Movie Guy, not Rye the TV Guy.
My problem is I've got too many shows like Sons of Anarchy, Boardwalk Empire, all these other ones I'm into. I don't have enough room in my week to add another one.
It is tricky. I only have a few, Boardwalk Empire being one of them also, so you see where I'm going here. Boardwalk Empire, Breaking Bad, boy, these are good ones.
Just Walking Dead here, man. That's the only TV I watch. That and The Bears.
Well, I'll be the first to sadly admit the other thing that I watch is I watch pro wrestling on a weekly basis, too.
It's okay. It's okay, Mike.
I know. I'm just sitting here putting my head down in shame, and I can't believe I just admitted this out loud.
You kind of like built like a pro wrestler. I mean, like you may be Mr. Calling.
No, I'm too small. Plus, I'm carrying around too much chubs.
Well, you know, there was like what was that big guy's name? Not that you're anywhere near him.
Kamala?
There's been a bunch of them. Earthquake.
I'm not that bad.
No, Mike, you're not even approaching that. You're about 1/10 of Earthquake. That guy was huge.
Yeah, I think about the size of his leg.
Yeah, probably. How did we get on wrestling here?
I have no idea.
My fault.
I have no idea. Reeling us back in here. Three strong interesteds for Argo. And speaking of new movies, out in theaters, Looper, Matt, I caught this weekend. Joseph Gordon-Levitt plays a younger Bruce Willis in this latest time travel film from director Rian Johnson. Set in 2044, Levitt plays a looper, a person who assassinates people sent back in time from the future. There is a need for this because in the future, Matt, people are tagged and tougher to just get rid of by the mob without getting caught. This is until the future mob sends back the older version of himself to kill, thus closing his loop. However, the older version of himself, played by Bruce Willis, has a plan for traveling back in time and escapes getting killed. That's just the beginning of this complex story. Together, they figure out why a person named the Rainmaker is trying to close all the loops 30 years into the future. The film introduces some exciting new ideas about time travel, such as burning something onto your arm so that your future self gets the message. Levitt, meanwhile, does a great job of acting like a younger Bruce Willis, mimicking his facial expressions and attitude. Throw in some fun action sequences into the mix, and you have one of the better time travel movies in recent years. As with many time travel movies, you will be thinking about the plot for a couple of days after. I like this one a lot, Matt. Rye the Movie Guy's grade, 3.5 Jaws, a grade of a B+.
But the real time travel bar that it has to hit. I want to say Bill and Ted, but no, seriously, Back to the Future. I mean, I know this is an action movie. It has nothing to do with that sort of thing, but is it on par?
Well, I mean, I think Back to the Future, you can never really hit that bar again because it was just so classic and special in the sense of going back in time and making fun of, you know, the past. It was one of the first to ever do that, and we see it mimicked so many more times again and again. So it's a little bit different, but I loved in this one is closing the loop. Once you shoot yourself, your older version of yourself, you then know you have 30 years to live, and that's how you die, is that you go back in time. And it introduces this idea that the loop of time never ends. It's always a loop of time, because once that guy goes back in time and gets shot, his older version of himself in the past has 30 years to live again, and then it just keeps looping. That's why it's called Looper. It starts to really make you think about like time not being so like
linear.
Linear, yes. Well done, Mike. So scratch your head after coming out and watching it. Enjoy the action sequences. Emily Blunt also put in a fine performance in this as well. We like to do parents on the show. I have, if Looper had parents, they would be Terminator and Blade Runner.
Wow.
Strong parents.
Yeah.
Damn, hell yeah.
I was shocked, actually, how much it is like Terminator being sent back to kill
somebody, right? Yeah.
Yeah, the way you were talking, it kind of made me think a lot of Terminator, and I think I've seen this kind of in a couple of different Star Trek episodes, but either way, I definitely got to see it.
Looper, 3.5 Jaws, grade of a B+. If you have Twitter pulled at home and you're listening to this, shoot us a tweet. Let us know what you guys thought of Looper. Not an undercover movie, but that is our topic of our top five this week because of Argo going undercover. Matt, I think you got a strong list, so you might be getting us started this week.
Okay, I'll get us started this week, and I'm happy to have this film on my list. I'm also happy to have it at number 5. I hope I don't get too many groans.
Oh, boy.
I'm throwing it out there early. Rye, If I asked you a question, who is your daddy and what does he do? You know I'd be talking about Kindergarten Cop.
Wow.
It's not a tumor. I mean, this is you can poo-poo this movie, you can dismiss it, but it was an instant pop culture phenomenon, and it's tough to get rid of this movie when you're talking about undercover movies. The Governator himself, Arnold Schwarzenegger, one of his early comedic roles, right after Twins.
This episode just went right down the toilet with Kindergarten Cop.
I don't think so, man.
I'm right there with Matt. I'm actually disappointed myself I didn't think of it.
Ivan Reitman directed this. I mean, it's entertaining.
It's a fun movie. I really, to be honest, I don't know if I've sat through the whole thing from start to finish. It's more just been sort of a movie I've caught here and there.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen it many times. It's definitely been a number of years since I've seen it. It's a good film. I think it's worth a spin. And, you know, Ebert himself gave this one 3 stars, Rye. So, I mean, it's good. Yeah, it's entertaining.
All right, we'll give you entertaining Kindergarten Cop. Mike, you could follow that up pretty easy. What do you got sitting at number 5?
I'm going with the comedy as well. It came out in 1985. It was actually affected by John Belushi's death because John Belushi was actually supposed to be in it. That's how Chevy Chase got his role. So it was Chevy Chase, Dan Aykroyd, and Spies Like Us.
Oh, yes! Doctor.
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 I haven't seen it in a long time, but the movie is just beyond hilarious. I think probably one of the greatest parts is when they're in the middle of the desert somewhere. He says, "Hi, we're Americans." Next thing you know, they're hanging upside down. It's just hilarious. Just watching those two bumble through everything, yet somehow they managed to like stop a nuclear war from happening.
I think they were really both at their peak. I mean, there's some great physical comedy in there when they're in the centrifuge.
Oh, God,
in the training sequences. And they come out and they both got that face like glued on. It's awesome.
Yeah, this was what, right about the time Chevy Chase was also doing the vacation movies? Ghostbusters had come out around this time,
I think
too.
It's safe to say they were both still on coke.
I wouldn't be surprised because both their careers kind of went south not too long after this.
Not too long after that.
Definitely
anyway.
Prime Chevy Chase.
Oh, very much so.
And Dan Aykroyd, really.
I miss prime Chevy Chase, too. I wish he could have kept it going.
Yeah, I agree, but at least he had a couple of vacation movies, and isn't he on Parks and Recreation now?
He is.
Yeah. Okay, I can't bring myself to watch this show. I think it's awful, but at least he's doing something again, and he's seemingly relevant again.
I agree.
Aykroyd seemed to have the better staying power of the two, I would say.
Then he did Blues Brothers 2000.
And lost all cred.
He certainly had some missteps, but overall, wouldn't you say that Aykroyd's kind of had the better career than Chevy Chase?
Oh, very
post
much.
80s?
Yes.
Very much so, except for the fact that I keep reading that Dan Aykroyd is insistent on making Ghostbusters 3 without Bill Murray.
I know.
Well, I give him all... You know what? Dan, you have my blessings. I know you listen to
Cinejar. You don't have ours, though.
Not mine
unless, either.
You guys are so freaking wrong on this.
No, unless you have Bill Murray, you have no right to make Ghostbusters.
I agree. We've talked about this too much already, Matt.
All right.
Sorry.
All right. At number five on my list, I have a Matt Damon film that came out in 2009. Also a bit of a comedy. It's definitely sort of a screwball character. I'm speaking of The Informant.
I'm not too familiar with this one.
I haven't seen that.
It was directed by Steven Soderbergh. This is where Damon plays Mark Whitaker.
Oh, yes.
Who basically goes undercover for the FBI to get more information on his company, ADM, because they were price fixing.
Right. I did see this. I was on a plane.
And he's just such an interesting character because he doesn't know exactly what he's doing. His personality is almost like bipolar. At one point, they catch him and they get him to go undercover for him. And he's setting up these meetings. He puts the camera in the room at one point and he does this meeting like talking right into the undercover camera. Just some extremely bizarre behavior.
It's a really complex con that he's trying to pull by basically framing some other people
right.
for this scam that he was pulling off. And I think he somehow, and it's a true story. I think he built millions, tens of millions. Crazy story. Definitely a good movie.
And he's basically indicting himself as he goes along.
Yeah.
It's an absolutely wild ride. And Mike, if you haven't seen it, and the Jawheads who haven't seen it, really, really well done by Matt Damon. Great character, The Informant. Check that one out.
Didn't the guy that he was based on end up going to prison, come out and become a CEO and a multimillionaire?
I'm not positive. I know he does go to prison, but I'm not positive he comes out and becomes CEO.
I'm almost positive. I'd have to double check on that, so don't hold me to that, but I could have sworn I read that somewhere.
We will look that up, and we'll figure that out. That was my number five, The Informant, Matt. What do you got sitting at number four?
All right, I know you guys are getting me crap over this one, but I was really thinking this would be a big round robin of cops and robbers and all that, so I wanted to dig a little deeper. I got the 1999 romantic comedy, and I'm a softie for this movie. Never Been Kissed, the Drew Barrymore vehicle. It's a Chicago film, first of all.
Seriously, just hand over your man card right now.
No. Oh.
I mean, when did you chop your balls off?
Yeah, swipe to the rescue.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I mean, are you neutered?
I'll make up for this later, I promise.
I don't see how that's possible.
It's a sweet story.
You
Come
have
on.
Diarrhea of the mouth so far today,
It can't
Matt.
All be freaking bullets and switchblade knives. Sometimes
I don't know, dude.
You gotta have Drew Barrymore in a tight shirt.
Well, Drew Barrymore is in a tight shirt.
There
good.
You go.
However,
there's my man card.
However, you're making me wonder if you sit down when you pee.
Drew Barrymore, tight shirt. I'm done.
Now, what happens in this? She goes back to high school, right, as like a reporter.
Right, exactly. So
I think I've seen this.
They put her in. She's got a baby face, so they put her back in high school. She had a hard time the first time through. Nicknamed Josie Grossi, she has a chance to make up for it, and of course she does. She starts up her romantic interest is a teacher, which makes for some awkward situations. It is a genuinely sweet story. It's a good story. A lot of people really like this film. I'm not alone.
All right. Well, so far though, Matt, let's be honest. You're really trying to turn our top five undercover list into an absolute crap fest. But we're not going to let it happen. Mike, pick us back up with your number four.
I'm going to inject a little bit of testosterone back into the conversation. Mine came out in 1994, directed by James Cameron, if I remember correctly, starring Jamie Lee Curtis, Tom Arnold, Bill Paxton, and Arnold Schwarzenegger, True Lies. I mean,
well done.
Need
Thank
I
you for
say
picking
more?
Us back up.
No, that's probably one of the last great Jamie Lee Curtis, at least at her peak physically.
Oh yeah, the whole scene where, you know, like Arnold's pretending like he's some client and she's got to do the striptease. I actually never thought a near 50-year-old woman could look hot.
Well, her and Susan Sarandon, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
And I can't believe how well Tom Arnold worked in the movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger. The two of them together on screen were a fantastic combo.
You know, when I saw this, I thought Tom Arnold wasn't a bad actor. Then I saw McHale's Navy.
Right. I agree. I remember when I saw this, I didn't really know that much of Tom Arnold. I remember thinking like, oh, this guy's great. He's funny. And then he really just never did much afterwards.
No, but he does. I will give the guy credit for one thing. He does have good comedic timing.
He does. And this film also has some awesome special effects sequences on the bridge. And
oh yeah, especially awesome for that time period.
It's sure. And who's the other the female villain? It's Tia Carrera, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and she's great in it too, I thought.
Yeah, this was just after she did Wayne's World.
Yeah, so her star was sort of high in the sky at that point.
She kind of peaked after that with this.
Yeah, that was pretty much it for her, but
good pick, though. Good pick at number four. At number four, I keep it rolling here with a Martin Scorsese film. Came out in 2002. Leonardo DiCaprio, not where you think I'm going here, Daniel Day-Lewis, Gangs of New York.
And this is undercover how?
Yeah.
Here is how it's undercover. Now, DiCaprio, his father was murdered by Daniel Day-Lewis's character, Bill the Butcher.
Sure.
When he comes back to New York, he basically goes undercover as a street thug that wants to infiltrate his little gang there on the Five Points to get close to Bill the Butcher to then, in turn, kill him and revenge his father.
Get his revenge, yeah.
Now,
I can see that.
Yeah, so he's totally undercover.
He's a mole.
In the sense.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's not going to say exactly who he is. They wouldn't have let him join the little gang that they had going there. The reason I pick it too, Daniel Day-Lewis, right after this, obviously his role after was There'll Be Blood, where he won the Academy Award. And a lot of people, I think, say this role and There'll Be Blood are similar, with There'll Be Blood a little bit superior. But I really love him in here. Bill the Butcher is such a fun character on screen. He dominates this movie from the time he comes on until the time he's killed at the end of the film. I love him in here.
I'm just going to throw out there, I just have to say, I've seen previews for him in Lincoln. If that, just based on the previews alone, if he doesn't win an Oscar for that, then the Academy Awards just don't matter.
Matt, here
and,
it doesn't.
And the Oscar for the best previews goes to Daniel Day-Lewis for
Matt
Lincoln.
Here, Matt here doesn't like Daniel Day-Lewis.
No, I didn't say that.
Well,
I don't like him.
You
I just
think
don't
he's
see
overrated.
What all the fuss is about. Sure, yeah.
But then again, Matt just used Never Been Kissed as a undercover movie.
Hey, I was just trying to be creative, you...
My number
and you
four,
failed.
Gangs in New York, quite the fantastic picture that I think it's starting to fade with a lot of people. So check it out if you haven't. We swing it into our threes. Matt.
All right. This one I got. I think I'm going to get some respect back.
I'm holding my breath.
2002, Ray Liotta stars in this film. I'm talking about Narc.
Nice.
Well done, Matt.
And this is about corruption in the police force, the illegal drug trade, a man who is obsessed with protecting another man's name by any means necessary. And it all plays out in typical noir fashion. This film is very dark, and I don't mean that in the sense of the plot. I mean that in the sense of the visuals. It's filmed very, very, you know, it's not a bright movie at all. And it's cold and harsh and unforgiving and... Great cop movie, great undercover movie. Starts right out with a cop being made and his cover getting blown, and it just goes worse and worse from there.
Well done, Matt. I think this is a film a lot of people haven't seen enough of. I love Narc. Big fan.
I do, too. It's very operatic in its violence, too. It's,
nice.
It's a lot of fun.
Keep it rolling here, Mike, at number three.
Well, my next one came out in 1997. It seems like almost all my movies are from the 80s or 90s. It's got Al Pacino, Michael Madsen, Johnny Depp. In fact, it was the first movie that actually made me like Johnny Depp, because I hate movies like Edward Scissorhands, but Donnie Brasco.
I have this on my list as well.
So do I. So
I'm not surprised.
It's actually, even higher.
It's a little higher for me. It's my number two.
And my number one.
Wow. Well, all I can say is you guys will definitely love my number one. If my number one's not on your lists, we got problems.
Yeah,
maybe
we just switched them up here, but I agree with you. In my opinion, having it at number one, I really do think it's the quintessential undercover movie, because the whole thing is about him being undercover.
Oh, yeah.
The idea that he's almost drifting into that undercover Donnie Brasco persona, I love it.
Yeah, I think it's really good. I mean, because you see like how he almost becomes abusive towards his wife, and he realizes, oh my god, I'm starting to go too far, and he gets a little too attached to Al Pacino's character.
Lefty.
Thank you.
Sure.
It's just a great movie.
Sure is.
Yeah, no, I love it. The scene in the Chinese restaurant when he can't take off his shoes.
Oh God!
Because the wire's in his shoe, and he's gotten so much rapport with this gang. He's like, I don't want to take off my shoes. He makes up this BS story about the war, and he uses some racist comments, and they wind up stomping on this poor restaurateur, and he has to go along with it,
right?
Otherwise, his cover's going to be blown, and it just shows you the mental torture that undercover agents have to endure.
And that scene and scenes like it are my favorite of these undercover type stories. Love when they're pushed to the brink of their cover's either going to be blown or they got to go along with it or
they got to do some bad stuff.
It's my favorite. Yeah,
there's even a couple of cheeseball movies like In Too Deep where they show that kind of stuff. It's really good as well.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's no Never Been Kissed, but it's definitely
all right. Swinging it over to my number three, it could be one of yours number ones, because I think this is also, again, quintessential undercover cop movie. And I love the flashback when you find out that he is the undercover cop. Of course, I'm speaking of the 1992 masterpiece by Quentin Tarantino, Reservoir Dogs.
That's my number two.
Nice.
Tim Roth, obviously, is Mr. Orange, and he's undercover the whole time. We don't know this early on in the film. Of course, he's shot as basically the robbery scene opens up, and he's sort of laying there in a pool of blood. And the way you find out for the first time that he's undercover, I remember seeing it, and just my jaw just opens like, oh my God, what a movie. This is something spectacular.
It's a great movie. I saw Pulp Fiction first, but I still think that those ones even better than Pulp Fiction, you know, especially for Quentin Tarantino.
Bite your tongue, man. Bite your tongue.
No, I think it's right up there.
See, I think there's two camps. You're either a Pulp Fiction guy or a Reservoir Dogs guy.
No, I love them both.
This isn't Team Edward against Team Jacob. You can love them both.
So we're taking Matt down the teenage girl road again?
It wouldn't be the first time, Mike.
Now, I remember seeing Reservoir Dogs when I was just a wee young lad, not being the movie guy that I am, knowing that Tarantino had done even both these films. And I saw Reservoir Dogs on video, saw Pulp Fiction, and I remember thinking like, oh, it's just like this one movie. Like, I just picked up on the style at all and then realized like the same guy had done it. That was way back in the day. But yeah, Reservoir Dogs, so spectacular. Plus the flashback of him becoming the undercover cop and how he's got to come up with the commode story. Love that entire sequence. Love it, love it, love it. That's my number three. Matt, we're into our twos, buddy.
I'm going to sub one out if that's okay with you guys.
Go ahead.
All right, well, my number two was Donnie Brasco, but subbing this out, I don't feel one bit of remorse. I'm going with the 2002 Hong Kong crime thriller, Infernal Affairs. This is obviously, as many people know, the film that The Departed is based on. So, and maybe we'll talk about that film too. It's about basically a cop is in the mob, and a mobster is in the police. And we've all seen the other film, so we kind of know how that plays out. But this is the original, Rye.
I have not seen the original, Matt. I got to be honest.
Oh, it's good.
It is.
I mean, do you like Kung Fu, like, I'm sorry, Hong Kong gun opera?
I love good gun opera.
Super violent, over-the-top violent. It's good. I mean, they obviously really toned it down for the American version in some respects, at least the action of it. But it's a great movie. You got
to
see this.
I do have to check that one out. Good pick. Good sub in there, Matt.
Thanks.
Mike, what do you got sitting at two?
Well, I originally had Donnie Brasco, but luckily since I got my Kindle with me, I was able to find another one really quick. So I'm subbing in...
Whoa.
What?
You originally had Reservoir Dogs at number two.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. You had me confused.
Yeah. I just had a brain fart. So anyways... Correction, I originally had Reservoir Dogs number two. Now I have a new one. This one came out in 1997, has John Voight, Jean Reno, Ving Rhames, and Tom Cruise, the first Mission Impossible.
I'm glad this came up.
It was the first one was good. The second and third one are total pieces of crap. And then the fourth one was really all kinds of awesome. But the first one, I think, is by far the best. I thought it was just a perfect movie. It was probably one of Tom Cruise's best movies he's ever done.
Well, certainly his best action movie. Well, up there anyway. I know, that's a tough call, Mike, honestly.
No, I'm going to stand by that. Well, I mean, it's no Born on the 4th of July, but it's definitely one of his best.
One of his best, absolutely.
For sure, and it's something that you associate with Tom Cruise right away. If you said Tom Cruise named the movie, somebody would yell Mission Impossible.
Oh, absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was just really cool. It had some great action sequences. It had some really good twists in it. And I admit, I did not see John Voight coming back when he did, even though you watch it a second time, you're like, there's so many clues for it.
Those damn Gideons.
But yeah, it was a great movie. Loved it.
Oh, yeah. Absolute classic. Jean Renault is in here, too. You know, it's...
Ving Rhames.
Oh, some great, great actors. And that classic scene where he's rappelling from the ceiling, and he winds up just inches off the touch-sensitive floor, and the drop of sweat is rolling down his forehead. I mean, that is absolutely classic cinema that we're going to be seeing in highlight reels for years to come.
Oh, definitely.
I agree. Well done. Well subbed in there, Mike.
Thank you.
At number two, I have a film starring Val Kilmer that came out in 2002. Peter Sarsgaard also appears in here. Smaller film, hasn't been seen enough, and I am speaking of The Salton Sea.
I've heard of it, but I haven't seen it.
This is where Val Kilmer has a huge
Mohawk,
tattoo on
right?
his back, punked up hair.
Yeah, yeah.
And he basically plays an FBI agent who falls into the world of meth. And he does so to get close to the men who murdered his wife. And by telling you this, I've already given away sort of the plot twist that he's an FBI agent. But hopefully when you rent it and Jawheads, you rent it and you forget about that little bit. Tidbits, because that's what makes it so interesting. But it's sort of a messed up movie. You dive deep into that meth world that we've come to know so well in Breaking
Bad. Was it meth?
Especially.
I thought it was heroin.
No, it's meth, actually.
Oh, yeah?
And it's quite... There's a film just like it that I thought maybe was going to pop up on one of your lists that's escapes me right now. But it's very similar, where they dive deep into the world of drugs, start doing the drugs just to get close to the people who killed his wife.
Sure.
Check this one out, though. Small little gem. It's the Q-tip of the show, I think. The Salton Sea. I love it. Plus, who doesn't love a good Val Kilmer movie?
Especially when he's got a mohawk.
Yes.
But he was in MacGruber.
Oh, boy.
Was he in MacGruber?
Yeah,
but that's
was...
fat Val Kilmer. There's a difference.
Fair enough. So skinny Val Kilmer movies are good. Fat
yes.
Val Kilmer movies, no.
That seems to be the case.
So, was he chubby in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang?
I think he was borderline.
Or he was somewhere in between.
Yeah. Also, okay. Heat, he was starting to gain a little weight.
Okay. Fair enough.
Matt, that might have been for the role.
Matt, we are up to our number ones. I am unaware of Drew Barrymore doing another undercover movie. So shock me here, Matt. Shock me.
Oh, I'm going with the Wayans brothers' White Chicks. No, I'm kidding. It's The Departed, man. This is the best undercover movie of the last 20 years. This is going to be a tough case to argue. I mean, Leonardo DiCaprio, Matt Damon, Mark Wahlberg turns in an absolutely unforgettable performance in this movie. Martin Scorsese directed this, and I believe he won the Oscar, correct?
He did. He finally
won the Oscar. It could be argued that this was a pity Oscar, but I'm going to give it to the guy. Departed is great. The only negative I could give to Departed is, unfortunately, Jack Nicholson's performance was a little silly. Outside of that, this movie is balls out, undercover, guts and glory, man.
Yeah, but the character he was playing, Whitey Bulger, you know, the guy that his character was based on, was kind of silly himself, so...
Well, okay, you can make that argument. I expected a little bit more out of Jack Nicholson, a little more menace.
Yeah, and I think what you're trying to say, too, is he almost takes you out of the story, because we know it's Jack Nicholson. You know?
That could be it.
Yeah, it's like, he's playing too much of that character. I don't know. I agree with you. It didn't work for me as well as it should have.
He's starting to get that Christopher Walken thing going, where every time he's on screen, he's almost like a parody unto himself.
Right.
So... I don't know.
But here you have double undercover. You have Matt Damon undercover in the FBI. You have the FBI undercover. It's why not be number one?
The pressure that you feel as an audience member just watching this movie, and these characters are put through their paces in such a masterful way. It's an absolute thrill. I love the way it all resolves in the end. It couldn't have ended any other way. Great movie.
Nice pick, Matt. Mike, I can't wait to hear what you have at number one.
So far, I'm actually really shocked. No one's mentioned my number one, but I do have an honorable mention I need to throw out there.
Do.
Came out in 1998, Robert De Niro, Ronin. It was one of my all-time favorite undercover movies.
Good. I'm glad that came up, too. It was on my honorables as well.
However, my number one came out in 1991, has Gary Busey, Lori Petty, Patrick Swayze, and Keanu Reeves.
Yes.
Point Break.
Yes.
Nice.
How? How is that not on either one of your lists?
It's totally in my honorables.
It was in my honorables, and I was going to mention it since my number one was already spoiled.
Okay, fair enough. To me, this is like the king of all undercover movies. Besides, if it weren't for this movie, we'd never have the Fast and Furious franchise.
I don't know if that's a point in the win column on this one.
Well,
but
okay, I will say the first Fast and Furious was good. The rest of them are just craptastically fun.
That's debatable, but go on.
But okay, anyways. But no, I just, this whole movie is really good. I think probably my favorite part is the scene where Keanu Reeves is chasing down Patrick Swayze when he's dressed up, I think it was as Reagan. He realizes that that's Patrick Swayze. Patrick Swayze realizes who Keanu Reeves is, and Keanu Reeves, you know, has to shoot the gun in the air so he doesn't, like, kill Patrick Swayze, and then just the whole skydive thing and the whole adrenaline. It is just such a good movie.
It actually, I think, contains one of the best foot chases in movie history, where they're
that's the same one. After,
yeah, I mean, just the way the camera's right with the action. And they're over the fences, they're everything. I love that scene.
Great cameo from Flea of the Red Hot Chili Peppers during that chase scene. So.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
He does a ton of cameos.
I think, is Anthony Kiedis in it as well?
He is. He's one of the surfer guys who gets his ass kicked by Keanu Reeves and Patrick Swayze. And then also he gets his foot shot off when they do the raid.
And the ending of this movie is classic, you know?
Oh, yeah.
He allows him to go catch that wave and basically commit suicide by surfing.
And he's like, he's not coming back.
He's not coming back.
I think other than The Matrix, this is the only movie where Keanu Reeves actually did a good acting job.
I don't know. Bill and Ted, we mentioned that earlier.
But I don't think he was really acting in that movie.
Whoa.
My Own Private Idaho.
Oh, that's another really good one.
I've heard of, but I've never seen it.
That's a really good Keanu Reeves. That's when he had promise. Good pick, though. Good pick. What isn't in my honorables? My number one, obviously, being Donnie Brasco. Like I said, I think it's really the pinnacle of Undercover. So I'll just throw in a quick other honorable mention, and that's 21 Jump Street that just came out with
Channing Tatum.
Yes, Channing Tatum.
Seth Rogen.
Jonah Hill.
Why did I say Seth Rogen?
Have you seen it?
I've seen the previews. That was enough to know that that looked god-awful.
Surprisingly good, and in fact, you would like it.
I this is exactly the problem and why I'm bringing it up. So many people are like, oh, does that look awful? Then you sit down and you watch it. Oh, it knocks it out of the park. Fantastic cameo by Johnny Depp in there as well.
Okay.
It ties it all back to the 90s show without being cheesy. Right away, they explain how this is like, oh, Hollywood's run out of ideas, and they do it in the context of the film, which is a great, hilarious in-joke. Okay, and I'll tell you this. I was watching it with my dad, my mom, and my wife.
This was on my recommendation. I told Matt to check it out.
Yes, so family film. My mom and my wife left the room, and me and my dad were sitting there on the couch laughing our asses off. It's a total guy film.
All right, I'll have to check it out.
You will like it, I promise.
Next time I see it on cable, I'll get it, or I'm finally going to get myself a Netflix subscription, so I'll...
There you go, it's on Netflix Instant.
I'll do that.
Awesome. Awesome list here, guys. Great Undercover films. I'm sure Jawheads at home listening, we probably missed a few. If you have Twitter pulled up, shoot us a tweet, @CinemaJaw. Let us know what your favorite Undercover movie is. What we're going to do is we're going to take a break. We come back, we got Cinema War. Me and Matt taking a look at who's the best James Bond, plus a DVD review of Snow White and the Huntsman, plus Matt versus Mike Huff in movies set in the 1970s.
And don't forget the Avengers.
On Blu-ray. We'll be right back on Cinema Jaw.
Hi, I'm Matt Kay with a Cinema Jaw movie fact. While undercover in last year's 21 Jump Street, Jonah Hill's character's cover is almost blown by someone he knows personally, and he avoids this by pushing her away and saying that she tried to grab his private parts. This same exact thing happened to Johnny Depp's character in Donnie Brasco while he was undercover. And that is your Cinema Jaw movie fact.
And we are back on Cinema Jaw, hanging out with Mike Huff.
A Cinema Jaw regular.
He is. Fourth time on Cinema Jaw. That's quite spectacular.
Well, thank you. You know, I'm just hoping number five gets to be a Kevin Smith career retrospective.
Hey, hint, hint, huh? Hint, hint.
He's our regular guest star, Jerry Seinfeld. Who's another good regular guest star?
Regis Philbin.
There you go. Thank you.
I like it. Now, before we get to DVD review of Snow White and the Huntsman, we are at a segment we call
Cinema War.
And Cinema War works like this, Jawheads listening at home. This is where me and Matt battle on a topic each week, and our guest this week, Mike Huff, gets to play judge and jury and determine who wins this Cinema War. And it's very important because me and Matt are vying for 20 seconds of precious jaw time to rant and rave on whatever we want. Now, this week, we have a new James Bond movie coming out, Skyfall. So, It got us thinking about James Bond. Reno, tell the Jawheads at home what today's Cinema War topic is.
Today's Cinema War topic. Will Daniel Craig be considered the best James Bond after he's done with the role? Rye, you'll be fighting that he'll be the best Bond. Matt, you'll be fighting he will not be the best Bond. Let the Cinema War begin.
Okay, Rye, turn in your man card. Seriously, right now, because any man who says anything other than Sean Connery when asked about James Bond ought to be drinking milk in his frilly white little panties.
Ah, this milk tastes really good over here, Matt. Now, let's be honest. This is a difficult Cinema War to win, as Daniel Craig still has Bond movies to make for a while here. Five, actually, to be exact. After Skyfall, that's the contract that he has signed.
Wow.
But look at what a great start he is off to. Casino Royale is considered one of, if not the best Bond movie of all time.
Daniel Craig is a great Bond. I also liked Brosnan and Moore back in their day. But when you talk about the best Bond of all time, it's Sean fucking Connery.
Whoa! Whoa! Let me tell you, Matt, older Bond films are geared towards Bond fans only. Daniel Craig has broadened the audience. Bond is now an action/spy franchise for everyone.
All right. Dr. No, Goldfinger, Jaws, and Odd Job. Connery's films had the best villains. These are the true classics of the Bond franchise and the shoulders of the giants upon which all the subsequent films will stand.
Matt, Daniel Craig was already an accomplished actor before playing Bond with such hits as Road to Perdition, Layer Cake, and Elizabeth. This is an accomplished actor taking on Bond and moving him to another level.
Okay, here's the test. Ready? Here's the litmus test. Say Money Penny in your head. Go on. Say it in your head.
Huh?
You hear Sean Connery's barely masked Scottish accent. Not Daniel Craig's Queen's English. I would submit that while his films are more violent, Daniel Craig, he's a more refined character himself, too refined to be the soul of the killer, James Bond.
Matt, these new Bond films have modern-day filmmaking on their side. Gone are the days of the gimmicky tools and little zapper guns. These new Bond films are filled with high-octane action, superior acting, and interesting plots, damn it! Daniel Craig is the perfect Bond of these times and will reign king when his time is done.
Okay.
Whew!
Here's my bottom line. When you look at a man like Sean Connery, you can believe that he has a license to kill. Daniel Craig comes out of the water in slow motion like Bo Derek. Sean Connery's chest hair alone is enough to give him the win. This isn't even a contest.
Wow. Wow. I actually think you got an extra point in there. How many points did you have? 5 points?
I think that was five, wasn't it?
Yeah, you're only supposed to do four. Way to break the rules, man.
Do an improv one.
Yeah, go for it.
Do an improv one.
I've seen the previews for Skyfall. I love the first one, as I've already mentioned. I'm not saying that the second one, Quantum of Solace, was as great as Casino Royale, but I love where we're going with Daniel Craig. I really do. And I understand that Sean Connery was the old man's James Bond, but this is a new Bond for a new generation. I love my Daniel Craig.
Well done.
We're butting heads here. I want to point out that he cheated, Mike. He cheated and put a fifth bullet point in there.
I'm just so passionate about the subject. I couldn't.
You would honestly chest hair this and chest hair that.
But it was good. You have to admit.
I will say, we're butting heads.
We throw it over to the judge and jury. Mike Huff, what'd you think of this Cinema War?
I will say, as a guy who does not wax his chest hair, that the chest hair argument definitely helped Matt. I'm like, admittedly torn here because Daniel Craig is beyond awesome as Bond. He kind of, Pierce Brosnan reignited Bond, but towards the end of his run, it fell apart.
Yeah, it did.
And then, you know, Daniel Craig brought it back, and I did like Quantum of Solace. I thought that was a really cool movie. On the other hand, Sean Connery really did define the character and the role, and unfortunately, Roger Moore and Timothy Dalton played it. But this is so hard for me because I agree with both of you, but I'm actually going to have to lean slightly, and I mean ever so slightly, towards Ryan.
Yes!
What? You're out of your fucking mind! What the hell are you talking about?
Yes!
Wait, really quick, Ryan, before you start your rant, Matt, the mere fact that you used Never Been Kissed means you absolutely have no fucking right to talk. Your man card was revoked like 30 minutes ago.
Jesus Christ.
You're done!
You're holding that against me. You're only supposed to judge on the debate.
No.
How can you say that Sean Connery isn't the best Bond of all time?
No, I'm not holding against you for the debate. I'm holding your response just now.
Oh,
that's where I'm using that.
Woo! Boy, we got to have Mike Hoff back in a hurry for his fifth appearance. I love this guy's judgment.
That didn't make any sense whatsoever.
Well, it did in my head.
I think all three of our man cards should be revoked.
Hey, Jesus. I'm taking my 20 seconds here, Matt.
Go for it.
And this one, it goes out to Hollywood really quick. We are upon horror season, and always come out these tons and tons of so-called scary movies, and they never seem to get it right. I love a good scare, just like the next guy, but give us an interesting plot with interesting characters in there, and it just makes the movie that much scarier. Enough said. That's all I got. Boo.
I'm surprised you didn't say stop making movies like Paranormal 4.
I'm just still reeling on this loss. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Matt is baffled. I mean, Matt, you had Sean Connery and you lost. The lamp of all lamps, as you like to say.
That was
you
the lamp.
Asswipe.
That was the lamp of all lamps. I mean, let's go back to Han and Luke here.
Matt, all jokes aside, I have voted for you in the past. However, Ryan actually made a stronger argument than you did.
Wow.
In the end,
because he had to.
In the end, Sean Connery is the better Bond, but Ryan's argument was better. I wasn't judging.
You're picking on me over the never been kissed thing.
No, I'm letting that go. I'm just saying, I actually only paid attention to the argument. I actually agree with you more, but I thought Ryan presented a better argument.
Oh, well done, Mike. Boy, I like Mike Huff more and more.
Well, you know, thank you. Even though we almost never
seem to agree. Can we get a review from the booth on this one? Jesus.
Hey, we still
got
to get to trivia. Mike Huff versus Matt K. You
think they're going
at each other's throats now? I can't wait till trivia.
I hope I win. I haven't lost to you yet.
Hey, DVD reviews before we get to trivia. Up first, Snow White and the Huntsman. Two Snow White movies this year, and neither of them are really worth watching. Huntsman is better than Julia Roberts' Mirror, Mirror, but that's not saying a whole lot. This time around, Kristen Stewart plays Snow White, while Charlize Theron plays the Evil Queen. The movie is dark and actually tried to go for a Lord of the Rings type of tone, and actually in a few scenes, such as the Evil Queen aging right before our eyes, the look comes off extremely well. However, Stewart brings about as much life to the Snow White character as a corpse 6 feet under. The story is actually bland, and with a running time of over 2 hours, quite long. Ride the Movie Guy's grade, 2 Jaws, a grade of a C+ at best for Snow White and the Huntsman.
Safe to skip this one?
Yeah, I can't believe they came out with two Snow Whites in the same year, and neither are worth a spin at home.
My only question is, what possessed you to want to even review it?
Well, I mean, if you did see the previews, they went for that dark tone that I thought might work. It had an epic battle at the end as they tried to take back the castle.
I kind of wanted to see it, yeah. I wanted to see it.
And it's got Charlize Theron in it. Come on.
Yeah, and it also has Chris Hemsworth.
Well, I know there's no Daniel Craig in this. He doesn't come out of the water in his little Speedo in slow motion, Mike.
Well,
just for you.
There's no Drew Barrymore going back to high school looking for love.
This is going to be some bitter-ass stuff going on for a while.
Also out on DVD, one of Matt's favorites of the year, The Avengers.
Absolutely.
Mike, I know you got it on Blu-ray. What do you guys think of it out on DVD now?
Awesome.
I got two words for you. Hulk smash.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I don't think you need to say much more than that. This is a great movie. It's so much fun. They got the Avengers right, and the DVD and Blu-ray look absolutely spectacular.
And the reason I ask is I have only seen it in the theater so far, and it's really a theater movie. It's loud, it's fun, it's big, it's explosive. I was wondering how it translated to a smaller screen at home.
Well, considering I just got a new 52-inch flat screen, it translated quite nicely.
Technology dropping.
I was just literally, it translated fine because I finally got to like rewind my favorite scenes and watch them over and over again.
Oh, yeah.
And the Hulk smash scene was no exception, and a couple others as well.
The other part, too, was like when Loki's lecturing the Hulk and then Hulk just bashes him, I couldn't hear. Everyone was laughing so hard in the theater, I actually couldn't hear Hulk go, puny god.
Yeah.
So the movie was... Honestly,
that was a great scene.
Oh, yeah. I would dare say that this is the single best comic book movie ever made.
Wow.
I would not argue.
I mean, I would put the Batman trilogy in a close second.
I would not argue with that whatsoever.
How many Jaws for the DVD, Matt?
4 out of 4.
Mike?
5 out of 4.
This is a movie everyone should own. It's great.
I mean, there is a reason why it's been the highest grossing movie of the year so far. I'm disappointed they didn't beat that crap fest of Titanic.
Yeah, it's not just drivel like that movie Titanic.
Tough crowd, guys. Tough crowd. Good thing we weren't arguing Titanic.
I know. I would have won that one. Jeez.
Hands down.
He's been waiting to get that Titanic comment in, Matt, all night.
Matt, it's time you can get some revenge against Mike Hoff, to it. The Daniel Craig lover, as he's been come to be known. Trivia this week in honor of Argo is movies based in the 70s, set in the 70s, movie trivia. Not necessarily made in the 70s, movies set in the 70s,
okay.
Movie trivia. Works like this. We go back and forth. There are rescues. If you get caught on one and you need a little help, our producer, Steve Mrazek, will help you out with one. You just got to say, rescue me, Reno. Mike, you're our guest. You get to choose if you want to go first or let Matt go first.
I'll go first.
Question number one over to Mike Hoff in movie set in the 1970s movie trivia. Question one, Mike. Mike Myers, Selma Hayek, Nev Campbell, and Ryan Felipe star in this 1970s disco movie.
54.
1-0, Mike Hoff. Question number two over to Matt Kay, who's looking for revenge. Sean Penn played Harvey Milk in 2008's Milk, but who played Dan White, the man who shot him?
Was it...
You do have a rescue, Matt.
This is tough. I saw the movie. I liked it a lot. I'm going to save my rescue. I'm going to save it.
You can take a guess. Just take a stab.
Okay. I know this is wrong. Josh Brolin. It's totally wrong. Yes!
Wow!
Yes!
Unbelievable!
Whoa.
That's why I was kind of making all moving around, because I knew it.
I guess I got to go with my gut.
Question number three over to Mike Hoff. What actress played Roller Girl in Paul Thomas Anderson's Boogie Nights?
Heather Graham. That was meant to be sarcastic.
2-1, Mike Hoff. Question number four over to Matt. What is the name of the Spielberg film in which Eric Bana and Daniel Craig starred? The plot had to do with revenge for the assassinations at the 1972 Olympics.
Rescue Me, Reno.
Rescue Me, Reno. Question number four. What was the name of that Steven Spielberg movie that had to do with the 1972 Olympics?
And your clue is a German city.
Boy, oh, boy, Matt's got his thinking hat on. Can't wait to hear him say Paris.
Was it Munich?
Wow. Thank Reno.
Thank you, Reno.
There you go. I want to hear thank yous to Reno from now on, too. It's 2-2. Question number five. What a ball game. They're tense on the couch. Question number
I already
five.
Used my rescue, though. I'm in the
Question
in the
five
hole.
Over to Mike Hoff. E.T. wanted a phone home in the 1980s, but what is the name of the 2011 J.J. Abrams film where the alien got loose after a train wreck?
Oh, God. I know it's not 8mm.
Do have a rescue if you need it.
Just give me 1 second here. Yeah, I'm...
J.J. Abrams' 2011 film, The Alien Gets Loose After a Train Wreck.
I'm going to have to take the Rescue Me.
Rescue Me, Reno. What was the name of that 2011 J.J. Abrams film?
And your clue is a type of film.
That was the problem.
He writes these before the...
Oh, my God. I know it's... It's not 80 millimeter.
No help. No wait. Help.
No, oh, I'm not going to help. I'm not going to help. This is pardon some
the,
kind of
pardon
contest.
The cursing, but fuck. I'm going to lose because of this. I'm going to have to pass. I'm going to be so pissed
you
when Matt
guess,
steals
just
it.
Throw something yes. out there. Throw something out there.
10 millimeter. I know. It's fucking wrong. Shut up.
Oh, boy. Question five. Man, you got a chance for a steal here.
Super 8.
Oh, damn it.
Yes, Daniel Craig.
Wow.
Well, this will be the first time you've beaten me.
Well, it won't three be the last,
two,
sir.
3-2, Matt Kay. Hold on. This guy's got choke jobs in him left and right. Question number six over to Matt. Mark Wahlberg played Vince Papel, a guy who made the Philadelphia Eagles as a walk-on in 1976 in this movie that came out in 2006.
I saw this.
Mark Wahlberg walked right on as a Philadelphia Eagle. Took place in 1976. He is out of rescues.
I know this. I saw it.
Oh, boy.
You know it, Mike?
No, I know it's something lame like Unbreakable or Unstoppable.
Don't say it. Hey. Wait.
Well, those are both the wrong answers.
Oh,
so.
Okay.
Actually, I think you're right.
Hey, Matt, I may look young, but I'm getting older here. We need an answer.
Unbreakable.
You got a chance for a steal here, Mike, and to tie it up, take a guess. You are on the right clue. You need an in here. You need an in.
I know it's not unbreakable, and I know it's not unstoppable.
I know it. I know it. Boy, if he gets it wrong, throw it back. Just
no way. No way.
S and G's.
No. No way. He needs an in here. What does he got?
And I used my rescue me,
I
too.
Know.
Some pain on
any
this
guess?
One.
Any guess?
None.
Was it Invincible?
Invincible it was.
Damn it!
Had a chance for a tie there. Wow. It is still 3-2, Matt Kay. This question is over to Mike Huff. Mike, Woody Harrelson, Ed Norton, and Courtney Love star in a film set in 1973 concerning freedom of speech.
People versus Larry Flint. One of the only good Courtney Love movie I've ever seen.
3-3.
I would agree. The documentary is good, too.
He has tied it up, but Matt Kay can win it on this question. Matt, last question of the game. In 2010, The Runaways, who played Joan Jett?
Can I steal this?
If he doesn't know it. He has used his rescue on a foolish question early in the game.
Was,
who played Joan Jett in The Runaways? For the win.
It was,
what's the time limit?
I know. Got a buzz.
Oh, it's the chick from the vampire movies. Why can't I come up with her name?
Oh, man.
The pressure.
They both want this victory.
Time.
We're going to buzz them shortly here.
Jennifer Pattinson. God, why did I say Pattinson?
Kristen Stewart.
Gosh. Why couldn't I come up with that? I hate her so much.
Unbelievable.
I hate her so much. Does that mean it's a tie?
No,
I
Mike
won.
Huff wins in 4-3.
I got
to
the steal.
4-3, you bastard.
Yes.
Sorry.
It's wow.
It's a cheap win.
When it comes to movie trivia against you, I'm just invincible, unbreakable, unstoppable.
Great win. Hey, there was a jawbreaker in case there was a tie. Mike.
You're more like Kristen Stewart.
Better 1970s. Music film The Doors or Almost Famous?
Oh, that's a hard one for me because I'm a huge Doors fan, but I gotta go with Almost Famous.
God, I'm a choke artist.
Tough one,
over
tough
here.
One. That wasn't the real jawbreaker. Real jawbreaker was this age of Woody Harrelson closest to. What do you got, Matt?
Woody Harrelson? 43 years old.
Reno, can you lock him in at 43?
49.
Reno, lock him in at 49. Computer
right.
Says 51 years old.
Holy moly.
Wow, 51 for Woody. Mike's on a roll here. Well done, Mike. Great game.
Well, Woody Harrelson looks great for a stoner.
I'm going to shake your hand, but we still.
Hey, a couple Hollywood headlines before we blow out of here.
You go first.
All right, get a load of this. Wonder if you guys like this one. Seth MacFarlane to host this year's Oscar ceremony.
I was actually pretty shocked to see this, but I think it's a good choice. I mean, really, come on. No more Billy Crystal. No more anybody who's not relevant.
Yeah, and they need a fresh face. This guy's pretty witty. I just haven't seen him enough, like, on stage in front of the camera. I don't know.
I just got to throw out there, I consider the Oscars a complete waste of time. This is the first time I think I'll watch it. Ever.
Nice. So they're hitting a large audience here.
I would say that's probably a big reason why they made the decision.
What do you got, Matt?
All right, speaking of Seths, Seth Green nabs a role alongside Ray Liotta and Ashley Judd in rock and roll drama The Identical. Green will be playing a drummer challenged by excesses of wine, women, and song.
Seth Green needs something in his career. I just don't know if he can come back strong. I mean, he's big in this Robot Chicken galaxy. I don't really
watch. He's on Family Guy.
His movie career,
sure,
though.
He was also really cool in Entourage. He played such a great caricature of himself.
Still not the movie side of him, though.
Fair enough.
Might be too late for him. Now, you guys love your little Marvel movies here. Marvel has reportedly added a new love interest for the next Captain America, dubbed Captain America the Winter Soldier.
Who is it, though? I saw this headline on the email, but we don't know yet.
No.
They haven't said they're just going to be a new love interest.
And it goes on to say that Marvel doesn't know if she'll be in future movies as far as writing her in, if Captain America is going to be
in another
Avengers or so on and so forth.
Somehow I doubt that.
Yeah, I doubt it too.
I think Captain America is about the only guy that She-Hulk hasn't banged.
Yeah, she's been with Iron Man, right?
Probably.
Yeah, pretty sure.
But when you think about it, in the next Captain America movie, his whole origin story, dare I say, has already been told. They always need some type of love interest. All of them have some type of
I think it should be She-Hulk. You know, if I had my choice of all the Marvel, or maybe Miss Marvel.
Is there really a She-Hulk, or are you joking about
that? No, there really is one.
Oh, my God. This is embarrassing.
It's true. No.
Well, wow.
She's the Hulk's cousin, you know?
I do seem to remember.
Is she green?
She's green. She is.
There's even a red She-Hulk.
That I didn't know. It's been a while since I've read comics, but I didn't know about the red one.
There's a red Hulk now, red She-Hulk, too. Yeah.
Boy, this podcast is getting real dorky.
Yeah, it's gone downhill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Mike, you're always a blast when you come on here. Your fourth time. You beat Matt Kay again in trivia.
It's not much of an accomplishment, though. But
oh, Jesus.
Way to rub it in.
I'm gonna so get you. Revenge is going to be sweet. I couldn't remember Kristen Stewart's name. It was a total brain fart, Mike. Your win came down to a brain fart.
I'll take it. I still won. That's all that matters.
That's true.
Hey, Matt, and as we wrap up here, I wanted to give a shout-out to the new 400 theaters. I went over there. I saw Trouble with the Curve.
Oh, what'd you think of the new...
With Clint Eastwood. The digital projection they've put in at the new 400 is awesome.
Crystal clear.
Crystal clear. Well done. The seats are new.
Yep.
Surround sound was nice, even though Trouble with the Curve didn't utilize them all too much. But great, great theater. As we always note, they have a full liquor bar. Best prices on first-run movies in all of Chicago.
And you should look them up at thenew400.com, and we thank them for their support of CinemaJaw.
And also check out MoviePass. A lot of exciting things happening over at MoviePass.com.
Yes, we're going to have some news for you soon.
Yes.
I just have to ask one question, though. Did Clint Eastwood do a better job in Trouble with the Curve than he did at the Republican convention?
Slightly better. I wasn't a huge fan of Trouble with the Curve.
Okay.
It was really paint-by-the-numbers type of movie. Didn't give it a review. When it comes out on TV, I'll review it. And also, as we wrap up, we got to thank our producer, the best in the biz, Steve Mraz.
He really is.
He is. Mike Cuff, thanks again. Until next week, check us out on Facebook.
Follow us on Twitter.
Keep on jawing about the movies.